magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends Eli, Jerry, and Mike most of the time. Come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what is up, and welcome to the Touch Arcade Show, episode number 446. I get so excited every time I say that number because it just keeps getting higher. Welcome to a slightly late in the day edition of the Touch Arcade Show. Yeah, we just had some conflicting scheduling things happen, and so it's well into the evening for Eli. It's still after. Just
Touch
late
Arcade
afternoon.
Show after dark.
After dark, it's almost quitting time over on the West Coast, so that's where I'm at, and I'm feeling it. I feel like it's quitting time, and I got stuff to do still, so that's annoying. But yeah, what's new in your world lately? Anything to share that you didn't share already?
No, it's raining a lot.
I have it's raining a lot. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
It weirdly rained here over this last week when it went from being like almost 100 degrees sunny straight for like a week to raining. And then my mom, she's up a little bit higher elevation, got like crazy thunderstorm and hail all day long. But now it's back to being like hot, super hot, sunny. So
yeah,
I don't know.
We've had like such a crazy string of bad storms and I've lost electric so many times that I'm like on the verge of like buying a generator.
Yeah, you probably should.
But I know what's going to happen. I can 1,000,000% promise you what's going to happen is I'll spend $200 on or whatever a generator costs. Because I really just need one that's big enough to like plug the fucking fridge in and, you know, like maybe the TV, you know, like a fan, something like that, a light. Yeah. So spend a couple of $100 on that, and I bet we will never have a power outage for the rest of the year.
That's a $200 well spent if you never have to deal with that.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, when we lived in the shack in our little town of Jenner, population 107, we'd get frequent blackouts and sometimes they'd be like several days. And, we had a generator where you'd fire it up and everyone in our little immediate neighborhood, would come over to borrow it cause nobody had their own stupid generator. So you'd like run it for a few hours, someone would pass it off to someone else. They'd run it for a few hours, pass it off to someone else. And it would just kind of circle around and keep everyone's fridge cold enough for as long as they could.
So here's actually a pro tip. I've done this already, mm-hmm. but you can buy a pretty good power inverter, like a 1,000-watt power inverter that hooks up directly to your car battery. So that's what we have now for in the event of like a truly extended power outage. I can just like idle my car with this thing attached to the. But I don't know. That doesn't seem like a good like long-term solution. Like you've had like a multi-day blackout. Yeah, I would feel weird about like idling my car for days.
Yeah.
You know, but versus like a generator, it's just made to do that. So.
Yeah. But, I got for Christmas, I got this weird, it's like a power pack that you charge up through an outlet for, it's not Gauss powered or anything like that. And it's probably like the size of like, what's a comparable size? I don't know. It's like as big as an Xbox maybe. And it has a handle on it. And, it's kind of cool. Like you could take it camping and it has USB ports and stuff like that. So if you wanted to charge up your phones.
Oh, you're talking like one of those things like the size of a shoebox, but it's just like all batteries with two like AC plugs on it.
It's a little bigger than that, but yeah, it's like that or whatever.
Cool.
Which is kind of cool. But the dumb thing is like, and then it has an air compressor on it too on the backside or whatever. But the dumb thing about it is that the one time I've truly actually needed it, I forget why. I think it was to jump my car or something like that. It was still new and I hadn't charged it at all. And it takes 48 hours to charge.
Oh shit!
So you have to plug it into a wall and then charge it. And then who knows how much it like slowly loses charge. Mm-hmm. Because I haven't like used it in a really long time. I don't even know if it's still charged or what. So you have to kind of like be ready. I guess if you had a garage or something, you could just keep it always plugged in or something like that. And then it's just there. But I'd probably have to plan ahead if I was going to take it camping or something like that and make sure I charged it, make sure it's useful. Otherwise, it's just this big, heavy thing that does nothing.
Yeah.
But it's cool. It's a nice idea, I guess.
Yeah. Power outages.
Power outages, man. I was going to stray off topic once more, a little more. Because I don't think I talked about this last week, but I made my first beer can chicken.
Oh yeah, I've always heard that that's like bullshit because you're basically just adding like a big heat sink to the chicken. Think it made any difference?
Well, you mean as a like it definitely made flavor difference. Really? It tastes like beer. But so whenever I barbecue chicken, I always brine it the night before anyway, because it really, really, really helps to not accidentally dry out the chicken and cook it too much or whatever. And then so I beer brine an entire chicken the night before too, so that you got it got a lot of beer flavor from that too. So it's hard to say really, but the other weird hot tip that I read about is that you dump half the beer can out and then you use a bunch of the same rub you used on your chicken and you put it in the beer. So the beer gets seasoned with the rub, and apparently when it's cooking and bubbling away and you know, going into the inside of the chicken or whatever, that should help with flavor too. Well, but
so my thing with those always has been like, so if you think about when the reason why you don't really stuff a bird typically is because like it just takes so long for the heat to reach the inside that like by the time the inside's warm, the outside's overcooked, right?
Right.
So if you think about that, you put a can of beer into your chicken. Is the can of beer like really ever truly like warm enough to be like boiling and like steaming up your grill in the
center? Hard to say, because I cooked it for an hour and didn't open the lid once. And the coals actually lasted that whole time too.
Like, but you took chicken internal temperature when it's done is like what, 165 or something?
Something like that, yeah,
and
yeah.
Beer boils at 212 or whatever boiling temperature
is? Yeah, it probably wasn't boiling. I don't know. And it definitely had... it was kind of tricky getting the can out actually, and it definitely had very hot beer in it. So it was like it would burn you hot beer, but maybe not boiling. So you know,
What I'm curious of is like if you, and this is pretty weird, but like what if you poured the beer out, boiled the beer, got like got the beer boiling, poured it back in, and then used that to like accelerate the cooking of the inside of the chicken,
along
with the outside. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it seemed to me like the chicken. So I think, like, to answer your question, I think if you didn't use the can at all, I think it still would have been similarly awesome come out about the same. Maybe there's some magic that happens with the can inside. I'm not really sure. I feel like the main point of it has always been like it basting the inside and keeping the chicken like juicy or whatever. But I feel like the brining takes care of that in the first place. So it's not really necessary or whatever, but it does help prop the chicken up so it can sit up on its own too. So I feel like I'd probably just do it for that. But the key thing was to cook it long enough so the outside with all the rub on it got like super crispy, which it did eventually. And that I think made all the difference. And I feel like the chicken was probably cooked before I got to that point. Mm-hmm. If I had pulled it off, it would have been still safe to eat and fully cooked and all that stuff, but I left it on longer and longer and longer trying to get the crispy chicken skin part outside done, which I think made all the difference. But it far exceeded my expectations and was probably the best thing I've ever barbecued, I would say, which is I've done a lot of barbecuing, so, or a lot of grilling, I should say.
Oh, cool.
But it was really fun. Yeah. It was actually a fun thing.
Yeah, I just like not into making whole chickens.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know.
I am a fan because, like I said before, I like making chicken stock. And so I actually have the leftovers from this guy, which is going to be a really different kind of flavored stock. It's going to be like this beer brined chicken with this crazy barbecue rub on the outside. So whenever I do end up making stock from it, I'm going to be curious to see if it's like extra weird flavored or what. But yeah, it was a fun time. But can't wait to do it again. You can buy two whole chickens from Costco for like $14, which is just insane. So
does your guys Costco have meat now? Ours is like out. It's weird.
Oh really? We haven't been in like a month, I think. We're kind of due to go. So
all this craziness with meat started in the last month, so I'd be curious to hear what your guys is like. Like, you know how Costco has those like meat coolers that just have like an infinite amount of steak and shit that's all like really expensive that you're always like, oh, that would be cool, but I don't want to spend $80 on steak. Yeah, ours is like, that's just empty. They've got it loaded with stuff like like cheese and other things that they just, stuff that needs to be refrigerated just to take up space, basically.
That sucks. I'm scared for that because we really need to stock up our chest freezer with meat. So. Yeah. We'll see.
I want to sign up for ButcherBox, but they're not taking new customers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which sucks.
Damn this virus. Ruining a lot of things.
Yeah.
Some BS. Should we move on to actual mobile gaming news talk?
Yeah, please.
Let's do that and crank through these guys because it is I can tell you're getting sleepy. This is about your bedtime, right?
It's
8 p.m.
Yeah, definitely.
So if you're familiar with Eve, the MMORPG, the mobile version, which was announced actually way back in 2018, finally
has...
Is this
the thing that they flew me out to Las Vegas for?
I don't know. Did they? Maybe.
There was something, some Eve fan fest. I don't remember what game it was for, though.
Let me see the 2018 story if that was... No, that was me.
Because it was like, I remember the thing that they sent me out for was like this weird game that was only kind of sort of like based in the Eve universe, but didn't actually connect to Eve Online in any meaningful way. Is that this?
Yeah. Yeah, you probably did go to something for this because they have a Eve Online conference called Eve Vegas.
Yeah. so it was weird. It was another one of those things where they're like, oh, we really want you to come out, blah, 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 blah. And then it's like a 10-minute long thing.
Yeah, that you could have had like a YouTube demo.
Yeah, that could have been an email, basically. Yeah.
I love stuff like that. Yeah. Well, anyway, it was announced in 2018. It was supposed to come out last year. Has been through a lot of closed beta testing and stuff like that. And finally, it does have an actual release window, not a specific date, but it is coming in August on both iOS and Android. So that's just a few months away. That's kind of cool. They just recently did a big, long live stream where they announced this and a whole bunch of other details and really gave everyone a big peek into what Eve Echoes, which is the name of the mobile version, is all about. And so you can go check that out on their YouTube channel. There's the live stream is posted there. And I don't know. I've heard from people that played the beta from like last year and stuff like that that this game's actually good. And
it seemed cool to me, but it's like if you wanted Eve Online on your phone, this is not it. Is the problem?
No, it's definitely like a different experience, and it takes place in like an alternate universe too. So there is no crossover effect with the full game or whatever, which I feel like is, I don't know. I think it'd be kind of cool if you could do stuff in here that affected your full game or tied together somehow or something like that. But at the same time, this is a big time space MMO type experience built for mobile, which is kind of cool. So people say they like it. I'm not one to say that they're wrong. So we'll check that out when it launches officially this August. Finally has a date. Hopefully it does get pushed back. Knock on wood.
Yeah.
Next up, this is a freebie that should still be free by the time you listen to this, assuming it's not like the following Monday after we post it or something like that. Tree Man Games made their very awesome game Paco 2 free for the first time ever. It's normally only a couple of bucks anyway, and it's by far one of my favorite mobile games. It's like always fun. Whenever I'm like, don't know what to play, that icon is just there and ready to be played. And I know I can waste tons of time blowing stuff up, driving around.
It's weird how good this game is.
It's like a pretty much a two button game too. So it just doesn't, you don't have to like mess with the controller. You don't have to worry about virtual controls sucking or anything like that. It's just like perfect on mobile. And so anyway, last month they made the original Paco free and for a week. And so they're doing that now, once again, because everyone's stuck at home and they're trying to give people something to do and all that. So Paco 2, if you never bought it before, go download it while it's free right now. It should still be free if you're not listening to this like 6 months later or a week later or even a few days later.
I mean, if you
basically
don't,
free.
If you don't get it for free, just spend money on it.
Spend the $2 on it. It's so fun. I love this game. So I wanted to give a PSA about that. Here's some detrimental news. If you are somehow following along with all the craziness that is the Kingdom Hearts series, Square Enix announced that there's like a mobile new Kingdom Hearts game called Kingdom Hearts Dark Road, but because of all the virus stuff, it has actually been delayed beyond spring. It was originally supposed to launch in spring. There is not a a new announced date or anything like that, just that it is being delayed. So I guess we'll kind of have to keep an eye on it. One of the weird things about this game is that it is actually appearing in the Kingdom Hearts Union Cross app, which came out, I don't know, a couple years ago or something like that. And so this will be like a second full game as part of that same singular app. That's how they're releasing it, which I feel like is interesting, I guess. I don't know anything about Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, it honestly wouldn't surprise me if we see a lot more delays because of like all this craziness with, I mean, like, even if a game has mostly stayed on track, like even the best companies that you know needed to transition to like work from home environments, like there's always going to be some kind of like transitionary period there where, you know, like nothing's getting done for a couple weeks or a month or whatever, which is always going to shift stuff. So
I think
that this is going to be the tip of the iceberg with like big stuff getting delayed.
Probably. So sorry if you're looking forward to that. You're going to have to wait till after spring, but we'll keep an eye on a release date for that once they update it. And hopefully it's not too long of a delay. So we talked about this a couple weeks ago, something like that. The Horizon Chase developers, who had spent a lot the last couple of years working on the console versions of Horizon Chase, came back around to the mobile version and updated it, basically saying there's a whole bunch of good stuff coming to the game this year on mobile. And the first of those has arrived this week in a free update, which adds the Porto Alegre racetrack into the game, which is noteworthy because that is these developers' hometown, which I think is kind of cool. And actually, Porto Alegre has a lot of really unique landmarks and stuff like that. So you can actually tell what it is when you're racing around the track. I think that's kind of cool. But it's probably just fun for them too to like model their hometown and make a track out of it or whatever. So you get the two different versions of that track added to the Brazilian Cup, and then there's one new car and some new car skins, I believe, and then the weekly challenges that we talked about in the last update for this game are live on mobile now, and so they basically offer some rewards for playing these weekly challenges, which are basically different races with different parameters, and it's all different changes each week or whatever. Just kind of a fun, cool extra thing to do if you've beat the hell out of this game already. But anyway, Horizon Chase is awesome. This isn't just the mobile version too. All versions of the game got this new.
That's cool.
Yeah. And it was a free update for everything too. I think the expansions, most of the expansions they released on the console version have been paid DLC. And they kind of alluded to that that's what they were going to be doing with the mobile version too, with some of the new stuff coming out for that. However, this one was free. And they made a big point of saying that it is free.
That's cool. I still think it's cool that this game is on other platforms, but I think this is still just like a mobile game. Like,
it just feels really good on mobile. But I still want the Switch version. Even though I played it to death on mobile already, I don't know. I feel like the Switch version seems fun. And it has a lot of different content. They're very different games.
Oh, so. Does it really? Oh, okay.
I
take that back.
But this game does feel very at home on mobile. And that's where it started. So it's nice that they're still updating it or whatever. So go download the new update. If you haven't played Horizon Chase before, it's free to try with a full game unlock type deal. So no reason not to try it.
Yeah,
it's a very, very, very good
racing game. Full unlock's like $3, right? Something like
that? It's cheap. Yeah, it's crazy. It's $2.99, such a good game.
I don't remember. Yeah. It might even be on sale because of this update, so maybe it's cheaper.
That could be. Yeah, that could be. So this is a really awesome game. Hidden Folks. I had to do a double take that this game came out in 2017, which that doesn't seem right at all. This seems way newer than that. Yeah, but I guess that's when it came out. Anyway, Hidden Folks is Adrien de Jong. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. This is like a hidden object type game, but it's completely hand drawn. all the scenes are sort of reminiscent of like Where's Waldo style scenes where there's like a lot of cool, silly little details happening. And it's all animated. And then all the sound effects are made by like himself and human mouths. And so it's like got this really quirky sort of charm to it that I just love playing this game. Like I think the only complaints people had when this came out was that it was kind of short or whatever. Hmm. And so since then, he's added a couple of level packs as paid level packs, so like as DLC. And it's been nice. But so the big update this week was that he's actually going to be releasing a huge update next month for free, and instead is going to bump up the base price of the game and then remove any of the in-app purchase stuff. So now it's just going to be kind of like a Rocket Cat Games type deal where it's like if more content comes, just bump the base price up. And then yeah. The people that already bought it are getting the new stuff for free. And if you wait, then you got to pay more to get everything as more stuff's added. I don't know. It just makes sense. Every game should be like that.
Yeah, I think that's really smart.
Yeah. The only thing is if you bought all the in-app purchases stuff already, then I guess you could be mad at the people that never bought any of it because they're going to get it all for free once this update hits or whatever. But that would be a dumb thing to be mad at.
I mean, whatever. You've played like really cool shit over, 3 years.
I think it's like the game is $4. It's pretty much, it's been on sale a bunch of times too. But so let's say you paid $4 for it and the in-app purchase was like $2. So, I mean, I don't know. It's still pretty cheap even if you bought everything.
Yeah. No, it's cool developer. They also made a really neat dancing game that I'm trying to.
The name super escapes me, but I know you're.
I'm trying to look it up right now.
Come on, come through for us. I'll find it.
I'm so close. Bounden. Bounden.
Oh, Bounden. Yeah, that's right.
It's really cool.
Yeah, where you and another person have to touch like certain parts of the.
No, you hold the phone, right? Hold the phone and like uses the accelerometer to figure out like the dance moves that you're doing. It like really reminded me of like the kind of shit that Nintendo does with the tilt sensors and their different stuff.
Yeah. No, totally. Yeah, they made a bunch of really crazy quirky games. They made the one too that was like Twister for your fingers. I forget what was the name of that game. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, hang on. I just had it up. It was
I think they're called Game Oven. Was that what it was? I can't remember his studio that he used to have with his buddies.
Right? Oh yeah. See the other game is just published under his name. God damn it. I don't know.
Out there listening, go fact check us and find out the name of what that game was.
Anyway, the moral story is dude makes cool games. His whole portfolio is neat. It's worth checking out. Search the App Store for Hidden Folks and check the developer page and see if anything else suits your fancy.
Pretty much all that. And yes, their studio was called Game Oven. I can't believe I remembered that. That was pulled out of a weird far part of my brain. Where was I? Oh boy. Here we go. So yeah, Hidden Folks, good stuff. Update coming by that game. Pascal's Wager, we've talked about this a bunch. It's the Dark Souls-ish game that came out earlier this year on iOS. Finally has a confirmed release date for Android. They were shooting for mid-May, and it turns out they didn't quite hit that. It's actually going to be June. Oh, so that's not too much later. But
not terrible.
That did not save some people from being mad about this on Twitter, I noticed. And they also announced a huge new expansion that will be available alongside the Android release and also for the iOS version. We had talked about this on previous shows. They did kind of like a 2020 roadmap type thing a few months ago, laying out what they were going to be doing for the rest of the year. And this was about where they were at in that roadmap. June, they wanted to do a big DLC campaign. They've released a free expansion before. This one will be paid. I think they said it's going to be $1.99 on Android, and I don't think that should be – oh, maybe just 99 cents, but I don't think it should be any different on iOS. So anyway, that's not a lot of money for an expansion pack, so kind of interested to see what that's all about. And then they recently added like a new game plus mode and stuff like that too. So really just a pretty content rich game if you like the old Dark Souls action-y type games.
Yeah,
but that's cool. Also, if you're on Android and you've been bummed out not being able to play this, next month will be your time to shine, because actual June 25th is the actual release date. So Pascal's Wager, good stuff.
Yeah, this is a game that they revealed at the Apple keynote alongside Apple Arcade, but as a premium game, right?
Yes, they did.
I still would love to know like what went behind that decision. That's like the craziest thing.
I don't know if it was like Apple trying to sandbag these people or something, being like, hey, here's our 100 plus games for $5 a month, or you can pay $7 for this one game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just I think they genuinely
it was really weird, but I don't know. It might have also been them trying to say, oh, you know, the premium game market isn't dead just because you're not on Apple Arcade. You can still sell games.
Well, part of me too wonders, like, they're so weird with keynote stuff. Like, we've always heard rumors about how, like, if you're a third party, you don't even know if you're going to be shown on the keynote until they're like, all right, come on, let's get on stage, let's go.
I have heard horror stories about this. Yeah.
I wonder if, because we know Apple's always been weird with gaming, right?
Yeah.
And I wonder if, like, something got cut at like last minute, like some, like they were going to show, you know, like, remember like Anki Drive, those cars like didn't really work or something. Like, I wonder if they, I don't know. I mean, this is X-Files stuff to think about, but like they had like something weird happen where like some tech wasn't working or whatever. And they were like, all right, Pascal's Wager, you guys are on, let's go, let's go.
Yeah,
and they're like, you just revealed Apple Arcade.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I thought it was odd at the time too, but, I don't know. I guess it doesn't seem as big a deal now. I mean, Apple Arcade's just there, and a lot of paid games continue to come out and seem to do okay. So I don't think the sky was falling as much as everyone thought it was back then, but it was definitely an odd thing. But yeah, I can't remember who it is anyway, so I can't out them. But I remember a developer telling us that Apple invited them out to the keynote, to be part of the keynote. They flew out on their own dime to do this presentation or whatever, and like at the last minute they were like, yeah, no, we don't have time for you or something like that. And that was just that. They were out like $3,000 in airfare or something like that.
Yeah, geez.
And yeah, those things seem like they are very well planned out, but I've heard not just those game demos, but the whole entire keynotes are really like by the seat of their pants, which I think is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. I am really looking forward to it, because, you know, in like, it seems like the closer in time it is to these things happening, the tighter people are with like the stories and stuff. So in like 10 years, I bet, you know, if anyone that was involved in this is like, oh, I don't care, here's what happened.
All the dirty laundry comes out.
So we'll just have to stick around for that. Hopefully we're still alive.
Yeah, hopefully.
Not dead of COVID-19.
Let's hope. So anyway, moving on, Per Chang, who used to be known as Rodeo Games, and they used to be known, well, they didn't used to be known, they are still known as the developers of the Warhammer Quest games. Warhammer Quest, the original way back in the day, was very, very, very popular, and then the sequel was also quite popular. Well, there's a third game in the series that they announced called Warhammer Quest Silver Tower, and they announced that, I think, in February. But anyway, it is coming along. They announced it would be coming out this year. All that it really had was a teaser trailer at the time, which they still only have a teaser trailer. There's no like hard gameplay trailers out for it yet. But they did release some new screens, and this game's a trip. Like, they use that focus effect that sort of like Link's Awakening remake uses or whatever, where it's kind of like blurry or whatever.
Oh yeah, like tilt shift, I think it's called.
Yeah,
it's like
I think it is called tilt shift.
The center is clear and the outside blurry to make it look like you're looking at something small, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. So they use that, and then they have these really nice character models and stuff like that. And like some of these screens I looked at and I was like, is this an actual photo of like a tabletop game like setup or not? Just in the same sort of way that Link's Awakening sometimes will look at and be like, is this like a diorama or something? I get that kind of vibe from these screens. I think it's going to look really a step above even the previous Warhammer Quest games, which also looked really good. But this one just has like a really cool style to it. So check out the new screens that we posted. And then they also announced that the game is actually very close and that they're at the beta testing phase and that they'd like some beta testers. I know a lot of people who read Touch Arcade and listen to the show like to do the beta testing thing. So if you want to get in on this, all you need to do is shoot them an email at beta@perchang.com. Super simple. Let them know you want to be in the beta. They didn't specify iOS or Android, but I'm guessing since it's coming out for both, they probably want testers for both. So take a shot. Maybe check this one out early. If you don't care about all that, I'm guessing this one is probably pegging for later this summer would be my guess. Next couple few months, something like that, if they're beta testing now. So looks super cool. Warhammer Quest games are always really good. So
yeah.
Warhammer Quest Silver Tower on its
way. Yeah, that whole series is fucking awesome.
Yeah. So this was a kind of half surprise release. Wilmot's Warehouse, which was quite popular on, like, I know it from the Nintendo Switch. Mm-hmm. But I think it's on like Steam and stuff too. But is a puzzler from published by Finji, who's like the Cannibal people and all that, and Overland, I should say, made its way to iOS this week, which just seems like that just seems smart. This just seems like a mobile game, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Basically, it's kind of a puzzly sort of game where you're sorting items in a warehouse. It's got a really cute kind of aesthetic, and it's definitely doesn't take itself very seriously. I don't know. I remember seeing when this game came out and thinking, what is this? Doesn't look very good at all. Like, what is, I don't even care about this. Skip, not even thinking another thing about it or whatever. And then I see a bunch of people everywhere talking about, oh man, this Wilmot's Warehouse game. I'm obsessed.
I think
with it.
It like doesn't screenshot well. That's the problem.
Yeah.
With it.
It definitely looks like maybe like a not great mobile game or something like that. But I think the mechanics are actually really cool. I think it's actually a really good game. It's $5 with no in-app purchase BS or any of that stuff, whereas it's $15 on Switch and desktop. So third the price. You get it on mobile where it probably is better suited anyway.
Yeah.
So kind of cool that they brought that out and it launched this week. So if you're interested or maybe you eyeballed it on Switch but never pulled the trigger, you can consider grabbing it on iOS now for $5. Wilmot's Warehouse. Good stuff.
Yeah. Oh, you forgot I didn't give a dog update. Dog's doing good.
How's your doggy? Dogs are good.
He's walking pretty much like normal now. We live on kind of a hilly area, so there's not like really like a flat part of the part of the grass for him to walk on. So when he goes outside on the hill, he's a little wonky. But other than that, he's really good.
It's kind of annoying now. Fast recovery.
Yeah. Well, what kind of sucks about his extremely fast recovery is that we still need to keep him like really movement limited for the next like 4 weeks. So like the like holes they drilled in his spine and shit can continue to heal. But okay. Like to the dog, he's like, oh, I'm fine. What are you guys doing? Like, why?
Yeah. I want to go run around.
I want to fuck with the cat. I want to do all this other shit. And then,
yeah, that's rough.
But yeah, dog's doing good.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. Good for Steve. Moving on. Another, well, not a freebie, but a sales alert that you should be aware of.
This game is old, isn't it? Like
it's 2017. Actually,
that's not that old then.
I thought I was going to say 2015, but no, 2017. The game is called Swim Out, if you haven't heard of it before, which I don't know. I feel like I get used to doing this day in, day out, and you see games, and you remember the names, and it rings a bell, and blah, 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 blah. And I just always assume, like, hey, if you, like, read Touch Arcade, like, even kind of frequently, you probably have heard us talk about this game before or whatever. But I see, like, some longtime, you know, readers or forum users or whatever say, I'd never heard of this game before. Thank you for posting about the sale. I picked it up and it's awesome or whatever. And I'm like, you never heard of Swim Out? Like, I don't know. But I guess, you know, people are busy. You can't keep up with everything or whatever. So I feel like it's always nice to post about these games, even if it's like, I don't know, sales happen all the time. It's not that crazy. The game is like $3 normal price anyway. So it's like $1 right now. Like that's a nice savings, but also it's not an expensive game to begin with. But they did release an update for it too. no extra levels or anything like that. It was kind of a minor update, but they tweaked some things. They added some new level transition animations and stuff like that. But basically, Swim Out's like a logic puzzler where you're trying to guide your swimmer across the pool to the exit, but then you have all this sort of stuff in your way, like other swimmers or people on the floaty mattresses or different objects.
It kind of reminds me in like a really weird way, weird roundabout way of like the Lara Croft Go and the Hitman Go games.
It's very similar to that because it's a turn-based game. And so you make a move and then everything in the other pool users make their moves and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so you need to like kind of plan ahead and kind of figure out your proper route. It's very, very similar to those Hitman Goes and all that stuff, which means it's really good because all those games are good. But anyway, it's also got this really cool aesthetic where it's kind of like a 50s, you know, public pool, kind of like super chill vibe to it. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Yeah, it's just a good game. Like,
yeah, it's the kind of game like a lot of puzzle games like are frustrating or will kind of make you like, I don't know. This is like a relaxing puzzle game, which if that makes sense, you can just, there's no timers or anything like that. You can just kind of chew on a level and beat it and take in the sights and sounds. It's just a nice thing. But anyway, it is 99 cents. It's never been that cheap before. It's been $2, but it's never been $1. So if you have $1 and you are itching to spend it on a puzzle game, Swim Out should be your jam. Just a really good game all around. Check it out for a buck. Best buck you'll spend this week.
Oh, yeah.
Guarantee it.
It's a cool puzzle.
Yeah. And then the last thing I had planned to talk about this week was the new Apple Arcade game, which I don't always talk about these because it's like, I don't know, Apple Arcade is just there. I mean,
this is a cool one, though.
Yeah, this is not really something I was expecting. And it's also from Cobra Mobile, which I feel like I haven't heard from them in a while. They used to be like all over. And then I think they got heavy into like weird free to play games and stuff and made a gazillion dollars and then stopped releasing as many games as they did or something like that. Maybe I'm just making that up. But anyway, Cobra Mobile, the game is called Towers of Everland, and it's actually a first person dungeon crawler style game. Although it's not actually a dungeon crawler, you're actually climbing towers. So you're not going down, you're going up. No, but it's, you know, the sentiment is the same. It's grid based. You're moving one square at a time. It's real time combat with enemies or whatever. And reminds me a lot of like Questlord or something like that. I feel like in its complexity. So it's not quite as complex as like some of the other ones from back in the day or some of the newer, more contemporary ones that have come out or whatever. It's more accessible, I guess you could say. But it's like if somebody took Questlord and then remade the whole game in like Fortnite style graphics. It's kind of weird. Like, it has this sort of cartoony fantasy look to it that's really good. The visuals are super good. And like the animations are like shockingly good. So it's just like neat to play a game. I feel like all the other games like this are like the same sort of like dark dungeon, same sort of enemies. You know, and this is sort of like a bright, colorful fantasy style setting, which I feel like you don't always see, which is really cool. But so far I played through the first tower and that was it. And it's only like 3 floors. So it was like a quick experience or whatever, just kind of getting my bearings with the game. But once you do that, it actually unfolds into kind of like a Elder Scrolls Blade style, how you're rebuilding a city in that game. And that's like your main hub for everything. You sort of have that in this game too. There's like this town that was abandoned, and so you take it over and make it sort of like your home base. And then as you go out adventuring, you kind of can help rebuild different parts of the town or whatever. So there's kind of like this central hub and this central sort of progression system or whatever. Other than that, I don't know, pretty enjoyable game. Like, the dungeon crawling is good. The other thing that stuck out to me about this game is they, added some complexity to the combat, which I feel like they did it in a really simple way that I'm surprised I haven't seen before, or perhaps other people have done it, I just never noticed or whatever. But like small things like, so you press the attack button, you swing your sword or your axe or whatever, right? And then you can hold down that button and do like a power swing. And then there's like a little meter next to your attack button. And then you have to wait for it to refill before you can attack again. So it's like a little cooldown meter. And it's a couple of seconds. It doesn't take long or whatever.
Yeah.
So you can do just a quick attack, or you can hold down and do a power attack. But beyond that, if you do a quick attack, the cooldown meter only fills up halfway. And so as it's refilling, the part that you used up is red, and the other half of the meter is yellow. Well, if you time it right, you can hit attack again while it's in the yellow part and do a combo. And then you can do that a third time, too, and do like a three-hit combo.
That's neat.
And so it's sort of like, it kind of reminded me of the act of reloading from Gears of War or something like that, where it's like this tiny little thing, but it's like a neat little timing thing. And the combos dish out like crazy good damage. And I was like, that's neat. Like, usually these games, you just hack away. Like, you're just mashing that button. You're changing weapons or doing different spells and stuff like that, but it's not, there's not a whole lot of mechanical interest to the actual combat itself. And so I thought that was a really clever way to add some extra depth to the combat, and it's fun to do too. And then same thing with the shield, is like you can hold the shield button, hold up your shield, block a shot, or you can double tap it and do like a shield bash, which can stun enemies or whatever. And so just those two minor little changes make the combat really fun in this game, where I'm like, instead of just wailing away and holding up my shield when he's about to attack me or whatever, I'm like actively trying to do a combo, or I'm actively holding down the button to do like a power hit, or I'm like shield bashing to stun him real quick or whatever. I feel like I'm having more fun with the combat than I would in these games typically, where you're just sort of button mashing your way through or whatever. So kind of cool. That was a really high point for me. But yeah, a really neat game. I don't know how I get the vibe that this was a free to play game at one point, especially with like the central hub city and the rebuilding and stuff like that.
Yeah, that still seems like how a lot of Apple Arcade games are. You know,
yeah.
Like Grindstone being probably the most blatant of all of them.
I would love to know the backstory of this game. But it still seems like a really cool game, kind of something different that's not really on Apple Arcade yet. So if you've been looking for something unique, I would check out Towers of Everland. Seems like a really cool game so far. I think, I don't know. I like it. I'm going to play it some more, and I can't say that about every Apple Arcade release. So
no, for sure.
Something we're checking out. That's all I had for this week. You got any, what's going on with Game Club? Anything interesting happening there?
Let's see. This week we released Gravity Hook, which is old semi-secret game. Really cool. It's a Danny B soundtrack. Worth playing just to listen to that.
Oh, yeah.
We're working on Android stuff. So soft launch in Game Club app, or the Game Club Android stuff is soft launch in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Denmark, and the Netherlands.
Oh, wow.
So if you are in one of those countries, I would appreciate if you'd check it out. Let me know if you have any issues. If you like it, leave a review, all that fun stuff.
And the sub works because it's directly through you guys. It works for both, right?
Yeah, so if you had
an iPad and an Android phone and you had Game Club, you'd have it on both with just one subscription.
Yeah.
Not to mention all the family sharing stuff you guys do too. So that's pretty cool. That's awesome.
We tried to make it as friendly as possible. Like basically as friendly as we can get away with without pissing people off. So
that's awesome. Well, we'll keep tabs on that. I know that an Android launch is something a lot of people have been asking for.
Yeah. And, well, some of these games, this is the first time they've been on Android, because they kind of a lot of these games originally released in that like weird time where it was like, releasing stuff on Android is really hard. There wasn't any money being made on Android. It was just a huge support nightmare and stuff. So people were just like, oh, fuck it. Like, we're not even going to do anything on Android. It'll be cool. Yeah,
there was a lot of that back in the day. So,
yeah, for sure.
Cool.
Well, you got anything else, or should we drive?
I don't.
This,
it is it's past your bedtime. Yeah.
Oh.
We have to drive this race car bed into Sleepy Town.
Oh, it's huge. I've been trying to decide if we want to go. So in Tennessee, they opened up all the racetracks and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like basically almost everything is going to be open on June 1st, but they opened like racetracks and some other shit this weekend. There's a cool dirt track by us that we think we're going to check out, but I don't really feel great about going to an event, but I feel like we can stay pretty far away from people. So I don't know.
I guess it depends on places like that. If they're like, you got to sit in the stands with everyone else or whatever, but if you can just like hang around and walk around outdoors, I don't think it'll be a huge issue.
Yeah. So but, it, It looks like from the photos I've seen, there's definitely like stands and stuff, but you can also just kind of stand anywhere you want along the fence around the track. So I think like, and it looks like people just bring lawn chairs and will like sit around the edge of it. So I think like that seems like a okay plan, maybe.
I don't know. You could go check it out. It's also, if it's not like NASCAR or something, it's not like it's going to be 100,000 people.
No,
there.
It's what the only thing that kind of worries me about it is that, like this is kind of like one of the first events that has been happening.
Yeah.
And I just like, don't want to go somewhere where like, cause I would go to this racetrack like every weekend anyway, cause it's kind of shit into. But, if everyone's just sitting around going like, oh man, I wish there was something going on again. It's like, oh cool, there's something at the racetrack. All right, everyone, let's go.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, it wouldn't hurt anything to just wait a month too. There'll be other races.
I mean, the other thing is like in my county so far, there are 10 total cases that have all recovered of COVID-19. So it's like, I don't know. It's like, I still want to like really do all the prudent stuff to take it seriously. Cause I would feel like such a fucking idiot if I got super sick because I wanted to go to a dumb amateur car race, but at the same time, you know, it's like effectively eradicated in our county.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah. So Sacramento was, as of a couple weeks ago, it was number 5 in terms of like lowest number of cases and number 1 in lowest terms of death or something like that, out of like the 53 most populated cities in the country or whatever. And so we've been doing awesome. We've been doing really well. Our hospitals have been like ghost towns, and we've been sending people to other places to help out and stuff like that, which I think that's great. That was the entire purpose of this or whatever.
No, that's cool.
So now, as of today, actually, they're easing a lot of restrictions on some stuff, including restaurants. So my wife's actually a waitress. She's going to be going back to work tomorrow with a lot of regulations and stuff like that. But still, it's like it's people going out to a restaurant, breathing the same air, being pretty close to each other. You know what I mean? It's like, and then it's her. She's interacting with dozens of people a day or a shift or whatever, and that's like always worrisome.
I guess what I would be interested in hearing is like if it's really even worth her going back to work now, because like I guess like, I mean, admittedly I don't know much about, you know, what it's like being a waitress or anything, right? But like I would think that you would make your most money on nights where you have like your whole section's full, you have a lot of turnover, stuff like that. And I don't know how they're doing it there, but here when they were trying to do like the stage restaurant reopening stuff, it was like 25% capacity seating and like, so, you know, previously you might have a section with, you know, like 20 tables or whatever. And now you have a section with 5 tables.
Yeah.
And it's not like those people are eating, you know, 4 times as much or paying 4 times as much or.
No.
You know,
we talked about that because we, stay home if we had to, like we would make our bills somehow, you know, then both of our parents would be willing to help us out. We're in a good position, unlike a lot of people out there that have no choice, you know what I mean? So I totally understand that we're very fortunate to be where we're at and even have the option to say, you know, if you don't want to go back to work, then don't go back to work. But her main problem is that she likes both the places she works at, loves it actually, and they told anybody that was like, if you don't want to come back, you don't have to, but we will hire someone to replace you because we have to, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
And, with so many restaurants that are going to be closing that didn't survive this shutdown, she's really worried that there's going to be a lot of people out there taking up all those jobs.
I didn't think about that. Yeah.
So that if, even if it's a few months down the line, she's like, I want to go back to my jobs. There's not going to be a spot for her. And so that's kind of the main reason she's like, well, I'm going to go back. I'm going to see how it goes. And if it seems sketch or it's, you know, whatever, can still walk away and say, look, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
But she's going to at least give it a shot and see how it goes. So, but it does, it feels too soon to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we've been doing okay for the last few months, hunkering down in our bunker or whatever. And I don't know. I'm just worried that everyone's, like her parents came over and her dad said something along the lines. It was like, oh yeah, they're opening up. Isn't that great? Like things are getting back to normal. And I was like, but they aren't, like, the virus isn't going anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, we are opening things back up, but more people are going to keep getting sick. It's not like this thing just goes away because we said we can open restaurants now or whatever.
See, that's the problem. Like, so a couple counties over from me, I've been reading about this last couple of days there. So similar to us, you know, like most of the rural counties in Tennessee had, you know, like 10 to 20 cases or less sometimes in total, you know, since the beginning of this. Right. And so everyone's just pretending like it's not a big deal. You know, like most people, like when we go out, we wear masks and stuff to be polite and you know, all that shit. Right. But like most people don't. And most people don't act like it's a big deal or anything to worry about or anything else like that. So there is a farm a couple counties over. I think it's like a mushroom production farm / factory thing or something like that. I don't know. But they... in like over the course of like a day, they had 180 infections.
Oh my God.
So like the county went from like 10 to 200, like overnight, you know? And the crazy part is like, you know, when you have people like, don't take any of this stuff seriously, it's like, you know, you go to work, you don't give a shit, you know, you catch this, you spend the next like week or whatever, not giving a shit, doing your normal stuff. How many people do you come in contact with? How many people do they come in contact with?
Yeah.
Everything else, it's crazy. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think something similar happened in South Korea, I think it was, which they got hit hard, but like handled their business really well.
Yeah.
But they started opening stuff back up or whatever, and then had to immediately shut things back down because like they traced one dude that went out to like six different nightclubs in one night or something like that and gave it to another like 20 something people or something like that. Yeah. It was like, dude, hold on. Like the first day back, don't go to like six different nightclubs.
Well, so did you see Apple updated iOS to have like the contact tracing API stuff in
there? Yeah.
I really wish that, I mean, so the problem that we're going to have in the United States is like, you know, there's people that want to like do the smart thing, like, you know, wear a mask, like participate in contact tracing, like that kind of stuff. And there's like half the fucking country that's like, masks are fake news, blah, 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 blah. You know, that like, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's always going to be fucked here. Like it's going to be fucked here for a very long time.
Yeah. Yeah. So. South Korea is like 99.999% of the population has all opted into all the contact tracing stuff. And everybody did the stay at home order and followed it. And everybody wore their masks. Like that's what happens when you have like near 100% cooperation.
No, exactly. That's exactly my point is that like, you know, places like Korea, everyone's on the same page. You're like, yep, okay, masks, contact tracing, done. Perfect. Let's do it. Let's get over this quickly. I don't know. And I think we're going to be in a real pickle here in the United States as this ping pongs around for years, because like, even if there's a fucking vaccine that comes out, like half the country believes that it's like some mind altering tracking serum invented by Bill Gates, you know? So we're never going to have the herd immunity that you actually need to get over something, because like half the country won't take this fucking vaccine. So
that's fun.
I don't know. I did.
I want to move out of the country.
Well, so I did hear something. One of the podcasts I listened to about this mentioned that like, so there's basically no way they can make this vaccine mandatory in the United States. Like people just won't do that shit. But what is actually extremely likely to happen is all these private insurance companies to be like, oh, okay, you don't want the vaccine. All right, we're not insuring you. So you can't, if you're not vaccinated, you can't have health insurance.
Yeah.
So it's like, which is a really kind of an interesting thing, because if you think about it, it's like, if you're like United Healthcare or whatever, right? Like, and you can pay for a vaccine that costs you, I don't know, whatever vaccine costs, say it's even $100 or whatever. And you have to give that to everyone versus like paying for these like 3 month stays in hospitals that some people are seeing. I don't know. I think that's how it'll happen.
Well, you froze for a second. I didn't hear what you just said.
Well, it wasn't smart. So whatever. All right.
But we can probably jabber on about this forever. So
yeah. Let's drive this race car bed.
Race car bed into Sleepy Town. Thank you guys so much for listening. Touch Arcade is primarily supported through our readers and our listeners and our viewers. So if you like what we do, want to see us continue doing it, please consider checking out patreon.com/touch arcade and throwing a little support our way. As little as $1 a month helps us greatly. And you can also do your Amazon shopping through toucharcade.com/Amazon. No extra cost to you. We can get a little bit of anything you'd be buying through Amazon anyway. And that similarly adds up and can be quite helpful. So please consider doing those two things. And please consider listening to a brand new episode of the Tetra Arcade Show when we come back with you next week.
Hell yeah. See ya.